The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
A 39-year-old is facing felony criminal mischief charges for allegedly spray painting a Compass Care clinic that's in Amherst earlier this month. Police say Hannah Comke vandalized the sign back on March 16th. The incident is not related to last year's Molotov arrest.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, good afternoon. It's good to be back here with you. Thanks to John Harper for sitting in while I was gone. John, thank you very much for doing that. That news there, I always want to be fair. I always want to be objective. I always want to give you the truth. You know, we talked about the FBI not making any arrests. Well, kudos to the FBI. The Catholic News Agency was reporting that a coalition of conservative organizations is taking legal action now to obtain documents from the Department of Justice related to the surge on pro-abortion, you know, these pro-abortion attacks on churches and pro-life pregnancy centers. And there's been like zero prosecution from the agencies, right? Well, the lawsuit accuses the DOJ of failing to, quote, promptly review agency records for the purpose of locating and collecting those records and failing to conduct searches for responsive records, end of quote. And that's required by the Freedom of Information Act and then DOJ regulations. So the Heritage Foundation and Advancing American Freedom are the lead plaintiffs in this case. So I hope something good comes out of that. The Compass Care Pregnancy Center, you heard some of that audio in the beginning. News came out a couple days before the announcement of an arrest that was made in connection with vandalism. There was a sign outside of the Compass Care Pregnancy Center in Buffalo, New York. Amherst, New York police announced that they've arrested a 39-year-old woman named Hannah Comke. She was charged with one criminal account of mischief, a felony that has a mandatory 1 to 5 year prison sentence if she's convicted. And she also faces federal charges for violating that FACE Act, that Freedom of Access to Clinics Entrance Acts. You know, I just hope she gets the help she needs. I hate to see anybody have to go to prison, but I am delighted that for a change, we are seeing our Justice Department go ahead and take some action. Now, the big question with this is, what will the Justice Department do? Are they going to press charges despite what Attorney General Merrick Garland testified to a couple weeks ago before the Senate Judiciary Committee? You know, the DOJ doesn't seem all that eager to press charges. So, and notice that this arrest is only in relationship to somebody who spray painted words. They spray painted the word liar on their sign. It's not like they threw this Molotov cocktail through the window, right? Where's the arrest on that? Where's the arrest on all the people who said, we're from Jane's Revenge? They kind of signed their work. Nothing so far has come from the issue of firebombing the facility. They did make an arrest in the spray painting. So at least bravo to that. And there's been a move in the right direction, but this is continuing. You know, I've dialed back a little bit on how often I bring you the news of these firebombings and church attacks because they just seem to be increasing in greater frequency. I mean, I've been doing it to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to give it a break and then I'll give you the big picture view. But, let's pray. Let's pray for the conversion of hearts. These are people who are lost and confused. These are people who are looking for something, you know, and apparently they haven't found it. And I think God's the solution to so much of this hatred, so much of this division that we see. It's unfortunate. Hey, I just saw a story here. This might be of interest to you, too, that the House of Representatives passed a bill on Friday to acknowledge parents' rights over education of their children. Woohoo! Right? That's good news. The Washington Stand reports that this comes as basically a House committee reported that there was extensive collusion between the Department of Justice and the National School Board Association, or the NSBA. That's a pretty wild statement. When I saw that headline, we've got collusion between the DOJ and the National School Boards Association. So there was an NSBA, that stands for National School Boards Association, an NSBA letter to the DOJ, accusing parents of being domestic terrorists. I am so glad. I say to my wife all the time, I'm glad our kids are out of school. Oh, man, am I glad that our kids have made it, right? So the NSBA sends this letter accusing these parents of being domestic terrorists, and the DOJ responded by, putting threat tags on some parents. Imagine if that was you. That's crazy. The Washington Examiner was saying in a different story that I saw that the bill would require all public school districts to disclose their curriculum materials to parents to mandate parental consent for participation in their student surveys and prohibit the schools from selling student information for commercial or financial gain. And that bill, well, it passed over the objections of some Democrats, including AOC, right? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claimed that it was, and I want to quote her, that was fascist. How's that fascist? How is it fascist, right? That you disclose to the curriculum this material to parents so they know what their kids are being indoctrinated with, right? They should be taught, not indoctrinated, but that's what's happening. That's why you don't disclose it. You know, and I like this aspect, mandate parental consent for participation in student surveys. That's right. What's the survey about? What are you saying? I mean, don't sell my kids information, right? Five Republicans voted against it, but the bill was still able to pass. Unfortunately, the bill is going to be blocked by a Senate filibuster. So that's where we are. We live in a strange time, don't we? We really do. And it's a different time to raise kids. My producer Maggie's engaged. She's going to be married. She'll probably be having kids in the not too distant future. At least I think that's one of her hopes. You know, school's one thing, but outside of school, you know, you've got social media, and we've talked about this ad nauseum. I won't belabor it too much, but in China, there's a province there that's telling parents also that, well, they've got to sign a statement saying that their kids can't practice any religion in their home before the children are allowed to start kindergarten. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I'm glad we're not in China. I'll tell you about social media coming up too, but I saw this story, and it reports that the pledge states that parents affirm that, and this is what the parents have to swear to. Quote, they do not hold a religious belief, they do not participate in any religious activities, and do not propagate and disseminate religion in any location. And then it also makes them affirm that the exemplary observance of the Chinese Communist Party's discipline and country laws and regulations, and to never join any Falun Gong or any other cult organization. So basically, you're just worshiping at the altar of the state. You know, you can't have God, but you will be a good, faithful, obedient little citizen. We decry what goes on here in America, right? We really do. And all the problems that we face. But can you imagine, just to give you a perspective on China, when I saw that, I wonder if that's something that AOC considers fascist. How does she view that, right? I think women like AOC and others, go to these fascist countries. Go live there for a little bit and see how you like it, right? You'll see how great the United States of America actually is. And we're at a critical moment here. We do not want to lose this country. And we don't want to lose it morally. A little bit later, a former Air Force member is going to be joining me because I saw something I think we need to talk about. Enrollment in the military is down. And you're thinking, well, why is that, right? Is it because, you know, they have this transgender stuff and, you know, you have to use different pronouns? I don't know if that's completely it. You know what I think is really the problem? I think it's a loss of virtue. I think our founding fathers, they understood what was necessary for this great experiment known as America, this democratic republic, to succeed. It had to be based on a virtuous people. And right now, the military, what it's depending on, is fading, and that's virtue. That's virtue. We have a recruitment crisis right now. And when you lose God, when you lose patriotism, what do you have? You know, what do you have, both in the military and as a nation? And I think that's why we're at a crossroads. We're approaching a very serious crossroads. I'm so glad that Relevant Radio is on the air. I'm so glad that we're able to talk about these issues, to give you the truth, to look at what may loom in the future, what you can still do to prevent it. We have to live in the now, right? We can make a difference right now. The state of Utah, I want to compliment them. And they're making a difference. They see where this is leading. Utah became on Tuesday the first state to enact legislation that restricts children and teens from using social media without their parents' consent. Oh, wow. I'm like, well, how's that going to play out, right? Kids are pretty clever. But I think it's great. I think that's great. The governor there is a guy named Spencer Cox, signed two bills that were aimed at limiting when and where younger children, younger than 18, can interact online. And to stop companies from, well, what do? They lure minors to certain websites. They target them. They addict them. That's what they do. They know to how to hack the brain of these developing kids and get them hooked. This law is going to take effect on March 1st of next year, and social media companies are going to have to instate, you know, a curfew for minors, barring them from using their account from 10:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. And I think that is brilliant. Can you imagine how many kids lay in bed at night and their mom and dads are like, oh, the phones are off. Okay, no phones. Okay, good night. Oh, they peek in. The kids are asleep. Meanwhile, the kid has the phone, pops it out. He's looking at it. He's on. He's exhausted the next day. His grades are suffering. So there's going to be a curfew 10:30 p.m. to 6:30. It's going to require companies to give a parent or a guardian access to their child's accounts. And I think that's critical, too. When kids talk about harming themselves or they're being lured by predators or all the other things that, happen, the dark side of all this. So I'll tell you what's going to happen right now. I mean, I applaud this. I think it's a great step. I think it's wonderful. It gives parents a little more control. It gives social media and their providers a little less. I guarantee you there'll be a lawsuit over this. I guarantee you. This can't stand. It's too powerful of a tool, and these social media groups make way too much money off it. Just one other story here quickly, if I could. And let's pray for this as well, if we could. I do not know what's going on in the country. And I mean that in terms of our rail system. I just heard there was a trail derailment in Ohio, right? You heard about that, right? It wasn't that bad. I heard a story this morning when I turned on the news. I was catching some local news, and I'd heard about a trail that began to derail, right? It spilled, I think, grain. The whole thing, it was not a catastrophe. There's no hazardous materials. I'm like, oh my gosh, how the heck does that happen, right? Oh, well, you know, another trail. I know there's a lot of them out there. We think of East Palestine. Well, I just heard a story before coming into the studio here involving another train derailment, this one involving toxic chemicals. Guess where this one was? North Dakota. Guess how many cars? It was a 70-car trail, a train. 31 cars, half of that train derailed about a mile from the town of Windermere in Richland County. It's a little rural county of about 16,000. It borders Minnesota and South Dakota. Well, Canadian Pacific officials, there's no danger. Don't worry about it. There's no danger to the public. You know, there are no waterways in the area. Okay, well, let's hope that's all true. But what's going on? I don't know. I really should get a train engineer. I should get somebody on here to take a look. Maggie and I were talking about this before the show, and I said, you know, if you would have asked me how many train derailments were there, Drew, you know, last year or this year, I probably would have said, I don't know, a dozen, two dozen. I mean, that seems like a lot. 12, 24 train. I mean, that's a lot. What causes a train derailment unless somebody is putting something on the tracks or there's a faulty bearing or something like that? But anyway, a handful, a couple dozen, right? Maybe. I shared this stat with you before, and it stunned me. It stunned me. Last year, the number that we had in terms of train derailments in this country, 1,350. So went back another year, went back to 2019. This is not a new phenomena. 2019, there were 1,600 trail derailments. So just between those 2 years there, we are looking at almost 2,000, more than that, almost 3,000. In what, 2 years, 3 years? I mean, what's going on? What's behind this? Where's the Department of Transportation? Right? I mean, and maybe they're minor. Maybe they're not big deals. Maybe this happens all the time. I don't know. It's a little frightening. You know, maybe you work for the railroad. If you know what's going on, give me a call. I would really love to hear. I mean, I really would. I don't know. It's just I'm ruminating here. I'm kind of pondering how we can have, in 2019, 1,600 trail derailments. Last year, 1,350. I mean, if this was in the aviation industry or any other industry, it'd be crazy. I have no idea what's doing that. But, you know, toxic chemicals don't just get carried on trains. The Environmental Working Group said that 75% of produce that's grown here in the States, and here's one other story I just want to put on your radar. I'm not going to belabor this. Maybe we'll talk about this at some point in the not-too-distant future. But if you're like me, I'm trying to eat healthy now, right? I was telling Maggie, I'm going to get healthy, right? I looked at where I was before the holidays, right, back in October, and I'm up probably 10 pounds, probably a dozen, probably 12. You know, it's crazy, and I said, that's it. So you want to eat, you know, fruits and vegetables, right? You want to do well in that area. Well, guess what? The Environmental Working Group said 75% of the produce that's grown in the United States contains toxic chemical residues. Your strawberries, your grapes, your apples, your pears, your cherries. Guess what? You know, there was one other. Nectarines, I think, was in there. I love this. Those are the worst offenders. So, I mean, I'll dive into this. We can take a look at it at some point in the future and find out what's going on and how healthy. And what can you do? Is rinsing it off? Is that enough? I don't know. We'll get into that more. But, yeah, I'd love to hear from somebody. If you know what's going on, give me a holler here. You can join me anytime, by the way. It's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You know, as I began the show today, I was talking a little bit about the crisis that we're seeing in the nation and what the solution is. And I've often said it comes down to virtue. Right? That's what it comes. It comes down to virtue. In a moment, I'm going to be joined by Captain Matt Dunbar. He's a friend of mine. He serves our Air Force many years. He's also flown a major airline carrier as well. And he's a man who I think is well-formed. And I thought about him earlier when I saw this story about recruitment in the military, and it's down. And Matt is a military guy. He's a guy's guy. He's a patriot. He's a good Catholic. There was a couple news stories, though, I want to get to before we take a look at what's happening with recruitment. Just two, because I want to tap into his expertise on this as well. One deals with Russia and nuclear weapons, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We got news coming out of Korea. You know, we've got challenging times here. So as a former military guy, I'll let him listen to some of this, and then we'll get his take. And you're more than welcome to join me as well. But here's one of the stories that we heard. And this is a call for prayer. There's news out of Russia that they're planning to put strategic nuclear weapons into their satellite and ally countries by the summer. And they want to get them closer to Ukraine as well as NATO and countries like Poland. You're going to hear about that later. We'll talk about that coming up. But there's a lot of action between the U.S. and Iran also over the weekend. I don't know if you saw this or not. Iran harassed U.S. forces in Syria, and the U.S. responded then in kind. Fortunately, at least at the moment, the situation has not escalated. In North Korea, you got Kim Jong-un, right? He's reported to have demonstrated an underwater drone capable of delivering a nuclear device. Where's this guy getting the money? I mean, his citizens are starving to death. They are starving to death. I mean, it's one of the most oppressed countries in the world, and now he's got even greater weapons of death. The Wall Street Journal was reporting that the North Korean state media claimed, they're making this claim, that the drone detonated a mock nuclear payload underwater and cruised in a figure eight oval patterns at a depth of about 260 to 490 feet for about 60 hours. That's a long time, multiple days. And Kim, this is why I want to talk about it. He's threatening a nuclear tsunami. That's what he's saying. He's going to threaten a nuclear tsunami with these weapons. There's also been some noise coming from China about invading Taiwan. So, look, I could go on and on and on. I want to lay those stories out because it's a call to prayer. Pope Francis asked us to pray in a particular way to the Immaculate, you know, Conception or the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I think we need to do it. I think we are at a crossroads. In a place called Medjugorje, the Virgin gave one of the shortest messages she's ever given. And she just reminded us again after talking about the world being at a crossroads, about the need to pray. She said, may this be a time of prayer for you. So as I see these events, I'm not here to scare you, but I'm here to encourage you to respond to that call. Let's pray, pray, pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. In fact, let me get into the conversation now with my friend Matthew Dunbar. Captain Dunbar joins me. He's a retired senior instructor for an international airline and commercial pilot, and he got his start flying in the Air Force, retired, as I said, with that rank of captain. And Captain Dunbar, it's good to have you back. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, Drew, how are you? It's good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, I love your take on some of the national news first. As a former military guy, what do you see unfolding as a Catholic? How critical is our prayer at this particular point in time, and where do you see us? I mean, I know you served at times where there was a lot of conflict in the world as well, but how do you read the winds?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Some of the stories you just brought up, they have been I have heard of them. I think at any time, of course, we're not in a time of peace. I understand we're not at a war officially, but the communists are all probing. They're all looking for ways to, see what kind of response the United States is going to have, and how we're going to react to whatever they have planned. And that's the whole thing. We've all seen the Russian bombers coming in and seeing what our response would be. Of course, the more interesting thing to me was having a Chinese balloon over our territories for days. And we did nothing about it.
Hit on that for a second. I mean, you were in the Air Force. I mean, was that surprising to you? I mean,
I was shocked because they saw it going over the Aleutian. Why did we wait? Well, I have a couple of questions here, and I wish I had some information, but I don't. I mean, why did we wait until we did over the North and South Carolina to shoot down the balloon? Right. Why, when we decided to shoot down the balloon, did we not have forces on the water to take up the balloon once it hit the water? And why is it the next day the Navy SEALs or whoever it was who went out and picked up the wreckage? And some of it probably will never be found. It's probably truly at the bottom of wherever it landed. It's to me that I honestly, I didn't understand any of that. And of course, at the time I was at my good friend Brian Kelly's, and he was one of the foremost international security officers. And I'm looking at him for answers, and he said, "I wish I could tell you something." Yeah. I'm appalled with what happened.
Is it the Defense Department? Is it the administration, the Biden administration? I mean, who's responsible for making those decisions?
Well, that's Biden. I mean, that's the administration there. I mean, the military, who ultimately makes the decision is going to be the Biden administration, right?
Right.
The generals can all they can do is brief him on the facts and brief him on what they believe should be done. I heard one of the generals, which a lot of my, you know, as you can imagine, being an Air Force Academy cadet and going entering the military through that way, I still talk to a lot of my friends, and all of them are retired, some high ranking generals in the whole bit. But we heard when the balloon was going across, there were some high ranking generals that were saying, "Oh no, don't shoot down that balloon, that could be dangerous," and we're laughing. I mean they're in the middle, they're over Canada, they're over Alaska,
right.
Places that are desolate, for crying out loud. Really?
Yeah, you flew in the Air Force. I think you were in a refueler.
I did.
But
I was in a 135R.
Yeah.
Right.
So I've got to take a break. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more. I'm going to talk about recruitment in the military and why it's down. And there's a Wall Street Journal article I saw on, really, we're losing patriotism, we're losing virtue in this country, and it can compromise us. And to your point, talking about North Korea and China and Russia and all that we're seeing, our enemies are becoming far more aggressive. They are coming far more than I've seen in recent days. So I'd love your take on that when we come back. We can talk a little bit more. Short pause. Captain Matt Dunbar will return. We'll take your calls too. If you want to join the conversation, feel free to dial in. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, looking for a new job? How about one that offers opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Substance without the static. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show.
Yeah, great to be back here with you today. If you are just joining me, taking a look at something that should give us as a nation pause. The U.S. military right now is in a challenging time, not just in light of the aggression many of our enemies are now taking, but we are considered the greatest, of course, fighting force in the world, right? We are the modern-day Roman Empire, if you will. Unfortunately, it seems like our military recruitment is down. Of all the major branches, the only branch, the Marine Corps, was able to meet the recruiting quota, and it was close. They only exceeded that number by about 8 recruits. But the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, they all fell short. And this issue just came before the Senate Armed Service Committee last week, as defense officials said that less than a quarter of Americans ages 17 to 24 years of age are eligible to serve. 9% are willing to do so, and the situation is going to take years to correct. They told the senators there, forecasting that the Army and the Navy and the Air Force, they're going to fall short. They're going to fall short of their goals this year by thousands of recruits. So it's not just the physical fitness or failing the exams. That's part of it. But at public discourse, they stated last week that the military has depended on certain virtues, the virtues of self-sacrifice. Those virtues of service, and they're fading from public life. I'm joined today by a retired Air Force captain. Captain Matt Dunbar joins me, and invited him to give us some perspective today. I'm sure you remember boot camp. You remember going in. What was the reason you entered the military? What was it that drove you there? I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I'm laughing when you said boot camp. I'm going, oh, yeah, I remember boot camp. I remember because I ended up having to go through two. I was at the Air Force Academy Prep School, and we entered as enlisted. And so I went through the enlistment. And to a degree, it was done at the Air Force Academy through TIs there. Mm-hmm. And then I went through one when I attended the Air Force Academy. And the main reason I wanted to go, Drew, is I felt that, I felt a calling to serve our country, and I felt that one of my grandfathers, my father's dad, was in the Army Air Corps and flew Sopwith Camels in World War One, and my other grandfather was, and believe it or not, he was in the cavalry in World War One. And then my father, he served in the Navy during World War Two. So I felt a real calling to defend our, to want to defend our country. And this was one of the ways I could do it. I wanted to be a pilot. Let me retract that. Yeah. I wasn't 100% sure. I know I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy. Part of it, they had asked me. I was recruited to play hockey there and ended up playing hockey in lacrosse. But once I was there, it was pretty evident. I knew what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a pilot.
That's so cool. So what do you make of what's happening here? I mean, why aren't men and women enlisting? Is it because the military's gone woke? We're now identifying people as they and them, and transgenders and people, the mixing of the sexes in this, or is it something bigger than that? Something more philosophical?
I think yes to everything that you're saying. I think as far as virtue, without a doubt. Without a stronger faith, without a doubt, I think that plays into it. As far as, and I think you mentioned that earlier, I still coach high school lacrosse. I know the young men that I coach, and of course I'm exposed to the other teams. These young men, they're physically fit, they're smart, and they understand what sacrifice is. And a lot of them, so let me speak to it this way. Mm-hmm. The parents will come to me because their son has talked about going into the military. And I thought, that's great. I'm all in if he's going in as an officer. I think it's for these young men to go on to college. Because I always want, and not everyone's made for college. Got that. Right. Totally understand that. But I think if you're going to go into the military, I think after being enlisted myself and then being the officer, I think that there's a lot more contributions. Not to say that you can't, because I called him my adopted dad. He was a chief master in the Air Force. And everyone knows the chiefs kind of run the Air Force, and we kind of work with them. But it's important, I think, for the young men to go that way. So from that aspect, I think you know, like you said, there's some that are still very qualified to do so. But I do believe that this woke mentality or the mentality that there's just they're bringing up things that are just so far to one side that.
Well, Matt, I have a moment or two left, and I'm curious if we're losing a sense of patriotism in our country. It's really tragic. I think that's undergirded by this exodus from the faith. We see religion in decline, and hard work is not that important. And all those things are tied to self-sacrifice too, right? And service. So,
well, true. And the and here's the other thing that I want to bring up for the parents. Of course, the parents are saying, I don't want my son or daughter, for that matter, to go into the military with the current administration. That's fact. That's fact coming from their mouth to me. I'm not making that up. That's just the way it is. They're very concerned about the present administration and their ability to wage war in a proper way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Chinese balloon is a perfect example. I think, you know, what are the responses that we're going to see with what you just talked about, you know, in Korea, in North Korea, I would hope we would have some more information than just state radio.
I agree.
He can say what he wants, but we have seen the Russians, then we see the Chinese. They've been aggressive, hey, not just this year, not just last year, for 100 years, you know, trying to infiltrate, as well as the Russians. They're the Russians. They're the communists. That's what the communists do.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I got to leave it right there. I am grateful for your service, for your time, for your friendship to the show here. Thanks for being here. It's always good to talk with you.
You too. My pleasure, Drew. Thank you very much.
That's Captain Matt Dunbar. I've got to leave it right there. When we came back, my colleague Patrick Madrid this morning had somebody question him about his position on the military. I thought maybe we'd take a look at it. Stay with me. I'll share that with you when I return. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Pray, hope, and don't worry. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up next.
Yeah, so what common values hold us together as a nation today? I would hope God and country, patriotism, self-service, self-sacrifice. Something to pray about, something to think about as well. One of the things that happens in talk radio a lot, and Maggie and I were just talking about this during the break, when we deal with politics, when we deal with conversations like this about our military and where we stand on issues, people hear what they want to hear. It happens to me all the time during the political cycle. People accuse me of being, you know, a Democrat because you're not supporting this person, or they'll accuse me of being too Republican because of this. I try to always stand on principle, but people will hear what they hear. And quite often when I look at my inbox after we have a show on something like that, especially during the election cycle, it's crazy. The filter that they use to interpret. Well, my colleague Patrick, I guess, had a similar experience. And Maggie, you were just sharing with me what happened with Patrick on Friday. Why don't you share with everybody what you just said to me?
Yeah, he got a call from someone in the military named Mike on Friday. And I was listening as I was getting ready for the day. It was a very compelling call. Mike was very well spoken. He had a great perspective. And it took up, I think, the last like 20 minutes of one of his show hours. Great conversation. When I tuned into Patrick this morning, you know how people hear what they want to hear with you, Drew. And I guess he had gotten a lot of responses from people either not agreeing with Mike's perspective or agreeing with it. But we thought perhaps we would play that some of the clip from Friday with Mike on the Patrick Madrid show. I think it'll give some good insight on what's happening in the military right now.
Patrick, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Some comments about the military recruiting going down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a West Point graduate, class of 1980, was an infantry officer, and then flew helicopters for 22 years, and I still work in the defense industry, so I'm around senior leaders in the Army still to this day. they're generally great guys, and they have gone to the same institution I went to.
Okay. But you're talking about the Pentagon brass? Who are we talking about?
Yes. Yes, okay. That. And I know them as well. I've served with them. I think at some point they forget their true calling as true soldiers and get somewhat corrupted, not in a illegal way, but their character.
Ideologically?
Ideologically, that's correct. And they know that, and maybe they think also, hey, if I stay on board, I can still try and silently fight against this movement, this insidious movement that definitely hurts combat effectiveness and readiness, and therefore negates or harms recruiting. So instead of focusing on combat readiness, combat effectiveness, and we do need that. We don't have near peer competitors anymore. We have peer competitors, and we know primarily the one is China, and they mean business. And when we get distracted by meaningless things that someone in the political realm thinks is important, we're missing our call of duty. Another thing to keep
in mind.
Can
I ask you a question?
Too,
can I ask? Yeah. Can I interject a question? Okay.
Yeah.
You're the perfect person for me to ask this question because you've been to West Point. You've got the experience and all that. I was never in the military myself. When you're looking at China, and when you talk about peer competitors here, I think it was General Milley yesterday saying that they're not equal to us, but they're catching up quickly. Does that sound realistic to you, or is that just happy talk? Do you think that China is much more lethal than they're letting us know about? Because I kind of felt like happy talk to me, like, oh, don't worry, everything's fine. But I'm pretty worried that it's not as away as they say.
Your concerns are very valid. It shouldn't be happy talk. They mean business. They have the will and they'll have the determination at some point to make a move. Mm-hmm. And hopefully our allies in the Southeast area, Korea, Thailand, Australia, Taiwan, certainly, yeah, will recognize this as well. Similar to the Ukraine event with Russia and NATO. You've got to remain vigilant. You've got to show a strong deterrence, just like President Reagan said many, many years ago. You know, strength through strong deterrence. Another thing to consider, I think, that harms recruiting is the embarrassing and insulting withdrawal from Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. A young officer, a young NCO sees that and says, after 20 years, this was the best we had. And after, let's say, 5,000 to 6,000 deaths, KIA, and probably 20,000 to 30,000 seriously maimed, you withdraw that way. And so people don't want to be part of that. You know, and I'll make the analogy.
It was
also
shameful.
With the church.
It was shameful.
It was shameful. It was an embarrassment. And again, some of the leaders from the same institution I graduated from, tried to put happy talk on that, and it wasn't. It was an absolute insult to the sacrifices of so many men and women there.
I completely agree.
We have a problem with recruiting. Not only the people, the talent pool that you can get, are they in shape? Are they on antidepressants? So it's a serious problem, and we need to have a strong military to counter the evil in the world. It does exist, and don't ever, think that it doesn't exist and it won't rear its head and impact us. So,
How you think, and I agree with everything that you're saying. Can I ask another question, if you don't mind, as long as I've got you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I guess I'm really happy that we are now at a point technologically where we can replace warm bodies with drones that are remote controlled, and maybe now like these robot dogs, you know, let's load them up with lasers and machine guns and send those things into battle. Do you think, in your professional opinion and experience, that we have reached the point where technologically we can make up for the shortfall in recruits with technology, with the robot dogs and the, you know, the drones and the things that don't require warm bodies? Or is that still a ways off?
so technology, and we should exploit it as much as we can. And we do have great technologically advances, but here's the deal with combat, with the determination, it still requires a human, Patrick.
Okay.
And he or she, highly trained, highly skilled, and enhanced with advanced technology, becomes more effective. Okay. So completely relying on it is, I think, would be false. We have to have humans that are engaged in believing what they believe in and willing to sacrifice for it to defend it.
Okay.
As and we have one other thing, too. That,
yes,
that,
go ahead.
Real quick, Patrick. The racism, you know, canard you hear. I was in West Point for 4 years. I was in the Army for 22 years. I'm in the defense industry now. I've never seen one instance of racism ever, period. Now, individual men or women may hold that silently in their heart, but I've never seen that at all. The military is the greatest organization to eliminate immutable characteristics, sex and skin color, and base everything on character, performance, merit, and focus on the mission. All this other stuff is designed to divide people and organizations. It doesn't help in team cohesion and unity. But it's, again, a distractor, and it's insidious. And commanders and senior leaders, to include the chairman, SecDef, should say, we don't tolerate it. It doesn't happen. And we're not going to waste valuable training time on something that's not a problem in our Army.
What about morale? I mean, let's go right to the heart of this issue that we're talking about, and that is the transgender mandate that the government has placed on the military. Can you describe for me what you think or what you've experienced, depending upon if you've experienced it? What is morale like for servicemen and women when a transgender serviceman or woman is there with them? How does it change things? And I've never been in the military, so I can only imagine it, but I'm curious to know what your take on that.
Yeah, so Patrick, I never experienced that personally. Again, all the patriots I served with, great people, great Americans, and they love their country and they love the Army. So I don't know anything about that. I think my idea on that is it's unfortunately a mental and emotional problem, and it should be treated that way. And you're probably not completely combat ready if you're dealing with those type of problems, just as if you had severe depression. Mm-hmm. Same thing. I want you to get help. I want you to seek help. I don't want to eliminate you from the Army, but you're not going to be combat deployable. And so that's what you've got to, I think, approach it that way. So I don't have personal experience on that. I would pray for that person if they're struggling with that. I don't mm-hmm. struggle with it. You don't struggle with it, but it is a reality. But I think there's an appropriate way to deal with it, mitigate it. And I don't think changing rules for a unit, a organization that's designed to go and win wars is the right way to do it. Now, if you want to do it in the civilian world, the corporate world, that's fine. But you're not charged with winning wars and defending our nation.
So true. And I'm pretty confident that the Chinese Communist Army and Navy, that they would not tolerate that for a moment, because they know how that would degrade combat readiness.
And you can see that the Russian hockey players, kind of a diversion here, you know, for the Pride night. And they said, look, I'm Orthodox Russian. I'm a Christian. I don't do that. I'll play mm-hmm. hockey. I'm a great hockey player. But you want me to be distracted by something I don't believe in. I'll go out there and score goals for you and do a great job, but I'm not going to play a part of that. The same thing with the Army. I came in to serve and defend, and if you want me to deploy and potentially sacrifice my life, be glad to do that. But when you ask me to be distracted or be part of this, that's why I'm not going to join. And listen, Patrick, I'm third-generation military. My brother served. My father served, and my grandfather served. And we're all devout Catholics.
God bless you all.
You know, we go by the moral code that's set across by Jesus Christ. And the more I think we infuse that back in the military, look, not everybody's got to be a Christian, but the more those moral virtues are extolled and defended, the better off you'll have a fighting force to defend our nation.
I couldn't agree more, Mike. Thank you. I feel like I have received an honor.
Yeah, it was my colleague Patrick Madrid addressing the issue both Friday and I think Monday this morning. Maggie, you're part of that conversation. I thought it was well worth replaying. And as we spoke to Captain Dunbar a few moments ago about a recent poll came from the Wall Street Journal where Americans are pulling back from values that once defined it. And those were patriotism. And I believe patriotism is intricately connected with religion. You know, God and country are inseparable. They really are. Of course, we've lost a work ethic in this country. The spirit of service is no longer there, nor is the spirit of self-sacrifice. And to Patrick's point, one that we just brought up a moment ago, when you top that with all this wokeism, all this transgender, all these transgender mandates, all the rest of the stuff, what is attractive about going in to serve? You don't have those virtues. You know, our founding fathers, Franklin, Adams, Washington, they all said the same thing. I can go on. There's several others who all talked about virtue. Franklin was famously said, he says, look, a virtuous people is only capable of freedom. As nations become more corrupt and vicious, then they have more need of masters. And where are we today? Are we becoming more virtuous or are we becoming more corrupt? John Adams, brilliant, brilliant founding father. He says our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. And it's inadequate. He said it was wholly inadequate. He used the word wholly, wholly inadequate to the government of any other. I think we need to revisit what our founding fathers wrote and what their vision for this great experiment known as the United States of America was really all about. George Washington, he said this too, and I'll leave it on this. He says, of all the dispositions, of all the habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. They thank God for relevant radio. What line, Maggie, is coming up? Let me go to Ellen. She is listening to us in Illinois. Ellen, thanks for joining the conversation. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I just want to make a comment. My son really wanted to be in the military, in the Marines, since he was, like, I think 9 or 10 years old. And he should have been the fourth generation for the military, for the family.
Right.
And he has everything. I mean, his heart and soul is there because he loves this country so much. And, of course, he's a practicing Catholic. His room is even, like, filled with Marine everything. And he visited the recruitment even though he was in grade school and then when he was in high school.
Right.
But when he went to college, because he was planning to go after high school, and we said he has to go better if he go in college and go get the military in there, something, it just clicked. Just one day, he just took down everything and he said, I'm not going to the Marine. And I said, what? And then I said, what happened? And he said, I love this country, but I don't think the government can support me and I can trust them. And I said, what do you mean? So I think it just changed so much. I know politics and when the COVID happens, when they are asking everybody to get vaccinated and all of those things. So,
well, I'll tell you what. First of all, thank you, Ellen, for your family's service. And thank you for that call. Let's pray for your son. God has a mission for him. That's for sure. And let's pray together. We'll pray for our country when I return. The chaplain is straight ahead.